This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abom, welcome everyone to today's Shir, Parshas Chukas. Bruchim Abom to the Kollel Agra de Perko. Thanks everyone for joining. Before we begin, a special announcement. Bez Hashem, we hope to be visiting Kivrei Tzadikim in the July 4th weekend, going to Bratislava, Hungary, Ukraine, Belarus. If anybody would like to join us, please contact us. You could go to our website, rabbidg.com, and the information, the brochure, and itinerary is printed. We have a very nice group going. If anybody would like to join, I'm sure it will be a very enjoyable and memorable experience. Okay, now Parshas Chukas. We read about the unfortunate occurrence of the Petira of Aaron HaKohen, and the Pasuk says, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chavtes, Vayiru kol ho'eda, the congregation saw, ki gava Aharon, vayivku es Aharon shloshim yoim, and they cried for Aaron for 30 days, kol beis Yisrael, the entire house of Israel. And vayishma ha'kanani melech Arad, Yoshev ha'neged, the Kenanim, the king of Arad, who live in the south, they heard, ki ba Yisrael, that Israel was coming, derech ha'asorim, by the road of the Asorim, vayilochem bi Yisrael, and they fought against Israel, vayish bimenu shavi. So what exactly did the Kenani hear? What exactly did they find out about it? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, they heard that Aaron died, and the Anani HaKavod left. Well, how did they hear about that?
Pardon me. Are you going to show display the Minor Mekomas on Zoom?
Yes. Do you see them?
I don't see them. Yes.
Okay. No. You see it now?
Yes, I see it. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah. So, the Pasuk says that the Kenani heard that Aaron died, and that's certainly of note. How did they hear that Aaron died? What does it mean, derech ha'asorim? The word asorim does not have a parallel in the entirety of the Chumash. Asorim sounds like an Aramaic word, asra, a place. So how did the Kenani hear that Aaron died? What does the Pasuk mean, derech ha'asorim, by way of the place? These are unusual, this is an unusual expression. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainis that Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda said, this is a Gemara in Tainis Davtes, Shloisha parnosim toivim amdu liYisrael. Three good supporters stood up for the Jewish people. Three suppliers, Elohein, these are them, Moshe v'Aharon u'Miriam, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And v'gimel matanos toivos nitnu al yadam, three good gifts were given through them, and they are the be'er, the cloud, and the man. The be'er was in the zchus of Miriam. The anan was in the zchus of Aaron, and the man was in the zchus of Moshe. Miriam died. Now, when did Miriam die? Miriam died in this week's parasha as well. What day of the year did Miriam die? Chazal say that Miriam died on Yud Nisan. That's one of the reasons we don't celebrate Shabbos Hagadol, specifically on Yud Nisan, because it's the Petira of Miriam. And when she died, Nistalku HaBe'er, the well departed, like the Pasuk says, Vatamas Sham Miriam, V'lo HaYamayim Lo'ida. However, it reverted back in the Zchus of Moshe and Aaron. Aaron died, Nistalku Anane HaKavod, like the Pasuk says. And this is like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Gimel, this is a Gemara in Tainus and Daf Tes. Mashmua Shama. What does it mean by Yishma HaKnani Melech Arad? What did they hear? Shama Shemes Aaron. They heard that Aaron died. V'nistalku Anani HaKavod. Because Sovereign Nitnolei Rishus Lilachem Yisrael. They figured, okay, now we could attack. If Aaron died and the protection is gone and the security is gone, they could attack. V'hainu Duchsev. V'yiru Kol Ha'eda Ki Gava Aaron. Amar Rabbi Avohu, Al tikri vayiru ela vayiro'u. Don't read it, they saw, but rather, they feared. Kedidarish Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish Darshan. The Amar Reish Lakish, ki mishamesh ba'arba lashanis, like Reish Lakish Darshan. Ki serves four languages. Ki could mean four things. E, if, doma, maybe, ela, but, ha, that. So they heard that Aaron died. Look in the Pasuk. We could read it, not Vayiru Kaloida, the nation saw Kigava Aaron, but rather Vayiru, they were afraid. Ki, because Aaron died. So this is a new reading of the Pasuk. Not the people saw that Aaron died. The people were afraid because Aaron died and they lost their protection. But the Gemara says, Chazu Shneyam Bischos Moshe, the Be'er, and the Anani HaKavod reverted in the merit of Moshe. Meis Moshe Nistalku Kulan. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, they all left. This is the meaning of the Pasuk. Ve'achid Eshloishas Haroyim Be'erach Echad. And I removed all three. I removed all three shepherds in 1 month. The Gemara says, in 1 month they left? But Miriam died in Nisan, Aaron and Av, Moshe and Adar. But rather, when Moshe died, they lost all three gifts, and it was like they all died in 1 month. Okay, so from here we learn that the Anani HaKavod was in the Zchus of Aaron, and we're going to try to investigate that, explore that. Why were the clouds in the merit of Aaron? What merit did Aaron have that in his Zchus he provided us with clouds? Rabbi Shulam Leib Diskin wonders, what does it mean, Derech Ha'asarim? By way of the Asarim. Rashi says, and Targum Yoinasan, they say they're pshat. However, Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin himself suggested that the word Asarim is an Aramaic word from the Lashon of Asra. And Asra means a place, a settlement, in a settled area. How did the Kananim hear that Aaron died? The answer is, when the Anani HaKavod was around, the Anani HaKavod had the feature that it leveled the ground, it lifted up, it elevated the deep places, and it lowered the mountains. Like the Medrash says, it flattened, the Anani HaKavod flattened the mountains, and the Anani HaKavod lifted up the grooves and the depressions in the land. And therefore, the Klal Yisrael did not have to travel through settled areas. They could walk right through mountains and travel right through lowlands. The Klal Yisrael never had to travel in settled area. However, when Aaron HaKohen died and Anani HaKavod left, they had to go now Derech HaAsarim. What does Derech HaAsarim mean? It means they had to travel through settled areas, conquered areas, paved areas. And the nations of the world asked, what's going on? Why are Klal Yisrael changing their course? Why are they altering the way they usually travel? And they investigated, why were the Anani HaKavod Nistalek? And they discovered that Aaron HaKohen died and they have no Anani HaKavod. So that's how the Kananim heard that Aaron died, because now Klal Yisrael is suddenly traveling Derech HaAsarim, they're traveling by way of the settled areas. Okay, very good. Now this has very interesting ramifications, the first being the Zmiros for Shabbos. One of the Zmiros that we sing, which is of ancient origin, and it appears in the Machzor Vitri, written by somebody by the name of Moshe, is Kol Mekadesh Evi Kaharoi Lahoi Kol Shoimer Shabbos. Then we say in the Zmiros, Hamiacharim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos Umimaharim Lavoi. We say that those who delay and tarry leaving the Shabbos and those who take in the Shabbos early. And the obvious question here is, it's out of order. It should say, Hamimaharim lavoy el hashabbos umacharim latzeis boy. Right? That would have been the more natural way. We say those who bring in the Shabbos early and let it out late. Why do we first talk about ma'acharim latzeis min hashabbos and then mimaharim lavoy? Well, I'm going to tell you two versions of this Dvar Torah. One seems to be a little bit more correct than the other. Let's go with the more popular one first, and then we'll do what I think might be the more correct one. And that is in the many Sfarim bring down, it's quoted in the Sefer Yeturei Torah as well, that on the Pasuk Vayishma HaKnani, the Knani heard that Aaron died and the Anani HaKavod left. Very interesting. What's the reason why we have Tosefa Shabbos? There is an opinion, and this is mashma in the Mechilta, that Tosefa Shabbos existed did not exist in Mara. In other words, in Mara they kept the Shabbos, but Zachar and Shamar, Zachar Milafana v'Shamar Me'acharav, that it was something that they were Mekabel on Sinai. Now, what's the reason for Tosefa Shabbos? The Medrash Rabba says that a human being cannot be precise with time. Nobody knows exactly what time it is, and therefore you always have to add Mechoil ala Kodesh. You always have to extend the Shabbos. I remember I was once a Rav in a shul, and they had an atomic clock in this shul, and the atomic clock was always 2.5 minutes off. So even when you have an atomic naval clock, it's also pretty off. So even there's a lot of human error when it comes to time. Nobody knows exactly when a Shabbos starts and when a Shabbos ends. That's why we need Tosefa Shabbos. Except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says about Hashem, it looks like God completes His work on the seventh day, when in fact He certainly completes it before the Shabbos, but that's just how it appears. Now, from here we see that Tosefa Shabbos is a halacha, that the Torah is mechadesh midin safek. In other words, the Medrash is mashna, the reason for Tosefa Shabbos is misafik. You know, you never know when Shabbos starts, you never know when it ends, so in doubt, you need to be cautious. By the way, this is not like the Ran in Masechet Be'ah. The Ran in Masechet Be'ah and Daf Lamed says that if the Torah is mitzaveh on Tosefa Shabbos, you need to add on to Shabbos aside from what we are mesupik about. There's a din of Tosefes on top of what we're mesupik about. But anyway, one understanding, one way to understand Tosefa Shabbos is because of Safek, you don't know exactly when Shabbos begins and when Shabbos ends. Now, when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they knew exactly when Shabbos began and they knew exactly when Shabbos ended. Because in the nighttime, the Amud Esh came, and in the morning, the Anani HaKavod came. So they knew the night, they knew exactly when Shabbos came, when the Anani HaKavod left. And the Anan Esh came, they knew Shabbos started. And when the Anan HaKavod left and the Anan Esh came, they knew Shabbos was over. So long as they were in the Midbar, they didn't need to do Tosefa Shabbos. They understood from the Anan HaKavod when Shabbos began and when Shabbos ended. Now we know, as the Gemara in Masechet Tainis taught us, so long as Aaron was alive, we had Anan HaKavod. However, says the Iturei Torah, there is a tradition that Aaron HaKohen was Nifter on Shabbos. Now he concedes that there is no makar for such a tradition. I personally never heard of such a thing. It's not brought in any sefer that Aaron HaKohen died on Shabbos. But for the purposes of this Dvar Torah, he says that the Svarim bring down Aaron HaKohen died on Shabbos. So in that case, on the last Shabbos of Aaron's life, they knew, which is the first time Tosefa Shabbos would play a role, because so long as Aaron was alive, there was no inyan of Tosefa Shabbos. They knew exactly when it began and when it ended. So they didn't need to do Mimaharin Lavoi Ela Shabbos, because they knew exactly when Shabbos came, namely when the Anani HaKavod left. But they needed to do ma'acharin latzeis. They needed to delay the going out of the Shabbos. So since the first time Tosefa Shabbos was kept was when Aaron HaKohen passed away, and that first time it was ha'me'acharim latzeis min ha'Shabbos, and only then it was u'me'acharim lavoi. So therefore, the Zemer preserved for all time the order in which Tosefa Shabbos was observed, namely ha'me'acharim latzeis min ha'Shabbos u'me'acharim lavoi. Now, what's slightly questionable about this version is that there is no tradition, not in the Tanakh, not in the entire Bavli, Yushalmi, Sifra, Sifri, Mechilta, or any of the Sifrei Kodesh, that Aaron HaKohen passed away on Shabbos. So, it's a very nice Dvar Torah, but there doesn't seem to be such a clear makar that Aaron HaKohen passed away on Shabbos. However, I once saw an updated version of this Dvar Torah that is more Oila al Adas. In the Sefer Oirois HaShabbos of Rav Shloimeh Halevi Varman, who resided in Kew Garden Hills, was a Talmud Muvak of Rav Lazer Silver. He wrote many volumes, Sheiros Yosef. He brings down from Rav Pinchas Karitzer. Rav Pinchas Karitzer was born in 1728. Was Nifter in 1791. He was a Talmud Chaver of the Baal Shem Tov. I had the schus to be at his kever. What are you showing me, Tzvi? There are Pinchas Karatzer. Rav Pinchas Karatzer says as follows. So long as there was Amud Anon in the Midbar, there was no need for Tosefa Shabbos. However, when Aaron HaKohen died, when Aaron HaKohen was Nifter, the Anani HaKavod left. However, the Anani HaKavod came back in the merit of Moshe. So even that first Shabbos that Aaron died, there was no Ma'achir in Latzeis because they still had the Anani HaKavod in the merit of Moshe. However, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Zayin Adar, then they no longer had the Anani. Now, when did Moshe Rabbeinu pass away? Moshe Rabbeinu, we know he passed away on Shabbos. One of the reasons we say Tzidkascha by Mincha is Moshe, Yosef, and David were Nifter toward the end of Shabbos. So Moshe was Nifter on Shabbos. The first Tosefa Shabbos was Ma'acharin Lotzeis min HaShabbos, and only followed by Umimaharin Lavoi, and that would explain the Zemer Ma'acharin Lotzeis min HaShabbos. Okay, Gevaldik. Now, comes the... I want to tell you over a Rabbeinu Chananel and a Rabbi Yonis in Eibishitz, and it seems to be a contradiction to this Rav Pinchas Karitzer. This is an amazing Rabbeinu Chananel. Also, I had this chus to hear this Rabbeinu Chananel from Rav Shloimeh Halevi Varman personally. And the Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Bo. I heard on this Shabbos from Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, and it's chus to be with him at the Shabbos Suda, and he brought that the Rishonim, when they quote Rabbeinu Chananel, they say that Rabbeinu Chananel's words are very special, Shekol Devaro of Divrei Kabbalahim. All of his words are words of tradition, which requires understanding. What does it mean, all the words of Rabbeinu Chananel are words of tradition? The words of all the Rishonim, they had a tradition from their Rabbeim. But apparently Rabbeinu Chananel had an extra dose of Mesoirah, an extra dose of tradition. And he brings down, Rabbeinu Chananel says, that the main way to establish the calendar is Alpi Cheshboin and not Alpi Re'ia. That's a very big chiddush. Because one would have thought that the main way to establish the months would be Alpi Re'ia, based on the testimony of witnesses. No, says Rabbeinu Chananel. The main way to establish the months is al pi cheshbon, based on calculation. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, I'll bring you a proof that the main way to do it is al pi cheshbon, because the 40 years Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, and the Anane HaKavod covered them during the day, and the Amor Esh in the night, they couldn't see the sun, they couldn't see the moon. So they couldn't see the moon. How could they be Mekadesh the Chodesh? There's no Kiddush HaChodesh in the Midbar for 40 years. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, this demonstrates that the Iker and primary way to establish the calendar is based on calculation and not based on Re'iyah. And the Navi says, it says in Nehemiah, that for 40 years, the Anani HaKovei did not depart from the Jewish people, so how could they be Mekadesh and Koivea the Chodesh al pi Re'iyah? It must be the Iker Mitzvah is al pi Cheshbon and not al pi Re'iyah. That's a major chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel, that the Anani HaKovei were so thick and were so dense that they were not able to see the new moon, and the way they were Mekadesh the Chodesh was al pi Cheshbon and not al pi Re'iyah. So comes Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz and he says something remarkable. We know the Mishnah says in Masechta Tainis, Loi hoyu yomim li Yisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom HaKippurim. There were no more happy days for the Jewish people than the 15th of Av and on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Yom Kippur, I understand, it's a day of Slicha and Mechila, it's a day that the second Luchos were given to us. However, what was so special about Tu B'Av? And the Gemara gives a number of interpretations, one of them being that every year, because of the Chet HaMeraglim, the Jewish people on Tisha B'Av would dig their graves, they would lie and sleep in their graves, and in the morning, 15,000 Jews remained dead, a Bas Kol would cry out, "Hi Badlu HaChayim Mitoy Chameisim," and the rest of the Jewish people would get up and come out of their graves. Until the final year, their 40th year, only 15,000 Jews left, and they dug their grave, and lo and behold, they woke up in the morning. And then they figured, you know, where am I? Am I alive? Am I dead? Am I in Olam Hazeh? Am I in Olam Haba? Maybe they miscalculated the Cheshbon, maybe they miscalculated the month, the date, so they went to sleep again in their grave, and Nachamo, they woke up in the morning, and they woke up the next day, until finally they saw the full moon, and they realized, certainly Tisha B'Av has passed, it's now mid-month, and they realized that the Gzeira had been rescinded. Well, Marv Raboisai asks Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, Rabbeinu Chananel says in the Midbar they couldn't be Mekadesh the month, al pi Re'iyah, because they couldn't see the new moon. So what do Chazal mean that they dug their graves and they looked up into the sky and they saw the full moon and they realized Tisha B'Av has passed, but they can't see the moon in the Midbar? I thought Rabbeinu Chananel says in the Midbar they were Mekadesh the new month based on Cheshbon, not based on Re'iyah. How could they see the new moon? Says Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, the Gemara says that when Aaron HaKohen passed away, the Anani HaKavod left. The Anani HaKavod left. When did Aaron HaKohen die? In which year of the Jewish people's traversing the Midbar did Aaron HaKohen die? He died in the 40th year. When, what date did Aaron HaKohen die? He died Rosh Chodesh Av. In the 40th year Rosh Chodesh Av, the Anani HaKavod left. So that month, there were no Anani HaKavod. So they were able to look up at the sky and see the full moon and realize that it was the Tisha B'Av had passed and it was mid-month. What do you mean? They couldn't see the moon because they were Mekadesh al-Pi Cheshbon. No! When Aaron HaKohen died, the Anani HaKavod left, they were able to look straight up into the sky. Now, this is a direct contradiction to Reb Pinchas Karitzer. Because Reb Pinchas Karitzer says, the why in Zmiros do we say Hamaacharin Lotzeis Min Hashabos Umemarin Lavan? Because as soon as Aaron HaKohen died, the Anani HaKohen came back in the merit of Moshe, and they didn't leave. The Anani HaKohen didn't leave until Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. So really, there was no hefsek in between the death of Aaron and the Anani HaKohen's return in the merit of Moshe. So Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz are saying that's not the case. That the Anane Akava left and remained gone certainly until the 15th of the month, so that the Jewish people understood and were able to see that Tisha B'Av has passed and the Gezerah had been rescinded. So it's very hard to reconcile Rav Pinchas Karatzer, who says that the Anane Akavid came back in the merit of Moshe immediately, apparently, immediate enough that it was there the very next Shabbos and it remained with them until Moshe Rabbeinu died. But according to Rav Yonis and Eibishitz, in the month of Av that Aaron HaKohen passed away, there was no Anane Akavid. I want to share with you a few thoughts based on this Rabbeinu Chananel, that when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, they could not see the new moon, and therefore they Mekadesh al pi Cheshbon and not al pi Re'iyah. I want to share with you a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Ches, says, by the Karbonos of all the Yamim Toivim, it says, Chet, Va'asisem Si'ir Izim L'chatas, and on Shavuos it does not say Chet. Why? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Shavuos, since you're Mekabel upon yourself, the yoke of Torah, I consider it as if you never sinned in your life. And the Karban Ha'eda there says, every Shavuos we're Mekabel the Torah anew. Very interesting. By the Karbanos of all the Yamim Tovim, it says the Se'irism is for Achatas, except for by the Karbanos of Shavuos, where the Almighty says, since you're Mekabel the Torah, I consider it as if you never sinned and therefore you don't need a Karban Chatas. Question number one. That might be true by the Karbanos of Parshas Pinchas, but in the Karbanos of Tiras Koyanim in Parshas Emor, there it says Chatas by all the Karbanos, including the Karbanos of Shavuos. So it's somewhat of a stira. Granted, by Parshas Pinchas, by the Karbanos of Shavuos, it doesn't say Chatas. But in Parshas Emor, by the Karbanos of Shavuos, it does say Chatas. Question number two. Since when does Shavuos have anything to do with Kabbalas HaTorah? Shavuos doesn't have anything to do with Kabbalas HaTorah. We know Shavuos in the Chumash is not described as Yom Matan Torah, because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos could be the 5th of Sivan, the 6th of Sivan, or the 7th of Sivan, and we hold the Torah is given on the 6th of Sivan. So from this Gemara we see that for all the years they are Mekadesh, the new month, based on Re'iyah, Shavuos had nothing to do with Matan Torah. So how could the Yushalmi say that the Karban of Shavuos, it doesn't say Chet, since we're Mekabel the Torah, we're not always Mekabel the Torah on Shavuos. Says Rav Shloima Halevi Varman, Zechrona Livracha, one question answers the other. You're right. So long as we're Mekadesh the new month based on Re'iyah, Shavuos has nothing to do with Kabbalas HaTorah. But as long as we're Mekadesh the new month based on Cheshbon, Shavuos will always fall out on Vav Sivan, the day of Kabbalas HaTorah. Now, there's an amazing Gemara Menachos. The Gemara says on Daf Memhe, any carbon spoken about in Bamidbar was brought in the desert. Any carbon spoken about in Taras Kaihanim was brought for all time. Says Reb Varman, the carbonos of Emar are the carbonos of loss of all time, not in the Midbar. So when we were in Eretz Yisrael, they were Mekadesh, the new moon, based on Re'iyah. They're Mekadesh based on Re'iyah, so Shavuos is not Matan Torah. So if Shavuos is not Matan Torah, it says Chatos by the Karbanos in Parshas Emor, because we're not Mekabel the Torah on Shavuos. Shavuos got nothing to do with Kabbalas HaTorah, because Shavuos could come out on the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th. And in most years, Shavuos was not Yom Matan Torah, and therefore it says Chatos by the Karbanos of Shavuos, but not the Karbanos in Bamidbar, not the Karbanos in Pinchas. The Gemara Menachos says the Karbanos in Pinchas were the Karbanos brought in the Midbar. Karbanos brought in the Midbar were at a time that were Mekadesh the month based on Cheshbon. Like Rabbeinu Chananel says, if we're Mekadosh a new month based on Cheshbon, Shavuos will always be the Yom of Kabbalah HaTorah. So if it's the Yom of Kabbalah HaTorah, it doesn't say Chatos, because since we're Mekabel the Torah, Hashem considers it as if we never sinned. So this little fact of Rabbeinu Chananel, that so long as we were in the Midbar, we were Mekadosh the new month based on Cheshbon, explains a discrepancy between Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas. Okay. Here we go. Here's another interesting ramification. So far, so good? Everyone good so far? Okay. I have one thumbs up. Okay. And one, a half, and another half a thumbs up. So out of 20 people, 1.5 people like what's going on over here. Everyone else, I assume, loves what's going on. Fine, I'll take it as that. I'll assume that the people who I don't see them, they're giving me 2 thumbs up. Rabbi Yisrael Moskowitz, he raises his hand. Is that a thumbs up, or that's a question?
I don't know how to do the thumbs up, so that's close enough.
Okay, very good. And Rabbi Yaakov's giving me a big smile. That's also good. I'll take that. Fine.
Absolutely.
Okay. Another ramification of this Rabbeinu Chananel Shita, that in the Midbar, they're Mekadesh al-Pi Cheshbon. An interesting thing about Bamidbar. We're reading now Parshas Bamidbar. Anybody know how Sefer Bamidbar opens up? What date? It starts the first day of the second month. Interestingly, Bahaloischa, which is the parasha of Pesach Sheni, speaks about the first month of the year, Nisan. So Tosfos is bothered, why does Bamidbar begin in Iyar and then go back to Nisan? And basically Tosfos says that Bamidbar is out of order. It starts with Iyar in Parshas Bamidbar, it goes to Nisan and Parshas Bahaloischa. And the reason why it's not in order is because the Torah does not want to begin the Sefer with Pesach Sheni, because for 40 years in the desert, Klal Yisrael were not makir of the Karim Pesach, except for in year 2. And that's it. So it doesn't want to begin the Sefer, Beginusan Shal Yisrael, so it starts off out of order. Namely, it starts off the Sefer in the second month. And Tosfos is bothered. In fact, why didn't they bring a Karban Pesach for the 40 years? Why didn't they? And in the Sefer Zera Avram, he brings an amazing chiddush, that there's a din in the Mechilta about the Karban Pesach, Vayikra Moshe l'chol ziknei Yisrael. From here we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu made a bezdin. And from there we see that an ingredient in bringing the Karban Pesach is you could only bring the Karban Pesach if you were Mekadesh that month al-Pi Re'iyah and not al-Pi Cheshbon. A Karban Pesach you could only bring al-Pi Re'iyah, not al-Pi Cheshbon. If that month was sanctified based on Cheshbon, you can't bring the Karban Pesach. Ooh, says the Zera Avram, based on Rabbeinu Chananel, then the Midbar, they were not Mekadesh al-Pi Ru'iyah because they couldn't see the month, the new moon, because the cloud covered it, so they weren't Makar the Pesach. So that's why they couldn't be Makar of the Pesach, because you're not Makar of the Pesach unless you're Mekadesh al-Pi Ru'iyah. Now, how were they Makar the Pesach in year 2? He doesn't explain. By the way, similarly, Chazal say that before Ezra went up in the times of the Bayis Sheni, they also were not makir the Karban Pesach. Why not? He says, because it could be they were not Mekadesh al-Pi Re'iyah until Ezra got up. So therefore they couldn't be makir the Karban Pesach either. Now, Chazon Ish is troubled, so then they didn't know when it was day and they didn't know when it was light. Is that what it means? Was it pitch black? Did the cloud completely blot out the light of the sun and the light of the moon? So the Chazon Ish says no. It doesn't mean they couldn't see it at all. It just means that they could not be Mekadesh Levana, Mekadesh Chodesh, through the clouds or through this prism, but it doesn't mean they didn't know at all when the light, when the day was, and when the light was, and when the night was. I want to speak a little bit about the phenomenon of the Anani HaKavod, and a very interesting dimension to the Anani HaKavod. The pasuk says in the beginning of the parsha, "You have a chumash on you." Let's see. Give me a second. Let me get a chumash. Parshas Chukas. The verse says, "Unesatem oisa el Elazar hakohen." You're going to give it to Elazar. V'hoitzi oisa michutz al machaneh v'shachad oisa lefanav. So you give it to Elazar, and he takes it michutz al machaneh, outside of three machanos, and he shechs it. But who do you shech it lefanav? So Rashi says, Zar Shoichet, anyone could shech the paraduma, the Elazar Roya, and Elazar has to see. Fine. Now I understand the first mitzvah, that a Zar could shech it, you don't need a kohen to shech it, but what does it mean Elazar sees? There's a din that you need a kohen to be a mashgiach over the paraduma? What's this din? Lifanov. So look in the Targum Yonis of Menuzia. Targum Yonis ben Uzziel says, "V'sidnon yasa le'elazar segan kanaya." You give it to Elazar the segan koyin. V'hanpak yasa lechayda lemibar lemashvisa. He takes it out of the camp. V'sadar chazar chazar la sidure kisim de tenaya. He arranges chips of fig wood. V'chahano oicharon yikos yasa kadamay besrein simanaya. And another koyin shechs it in both simanim. Kimishar b'iran, v'yiv dekinai b'tmane sri trefan. Another koyein shechs it in front of him, in both simanim, like other animals, and Elazar checks it for the 18 trefos. Now, we know whenever you shecht an animal, you check the 18 trefos. But could you check the 18 trefos of a paraduma? There is an opinion that when it comes to paraduma, you cannot check it for 18 trefos, because by doing so, you're going to be removing Evarim, and if you remove Evarim, the paraduma will not be Tamima anymore. So there are opinions that you do not, while other animals you do check the 18 trefos, when it comes to paraduma you do not check the 18 trefos, because you rely on roiv, otherwise the paraduma will not be shalem, it will not be tamim. However, the Mefarish on Targum Yonis and Menuziel says, Targum Yonis and Menuziel seems to be siding with the opinion that you do in fact check the 18 trefos of the paraduma. Now there is an amazing brisa. The brisa is called the brisa of Meleches HaMishkan. And the brisa says, Rav Shimon ben Yosi Omer, for 40 years at Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, nobody needed moonlight, nobody needed sunlight. When the clouds turned red, they knew it was Shkia Sachama. When the clouds turned white, they knew it was Netzachama. And this light, the light of the Anan HaKavod, the light of the Anan Esh and Anan Yoimam, was so powerful, it was like X-ray vision. Umestakel b'chavios. They could gaze into a barrel, v'yodea masha b'soicha, and know what's inside of it. B'tafiach. They could look in a jug and be yodea masha b'soichai. Mibnei anan ha-shchina, shebeineim, shenemar, ki anan ha-shem ala mishkon yoyman ve'eshti alay lo boy, le'enei kobeis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseyem. And by the way, va'af la'asid lava, even in the future, it will be like this. Shenemer, kumi oiri ki ba'oirech uchvoid Hashem, alayich zarach, and it says, lo yeh lecha oir Hashemesh, la'or yoimam, ulenoiga hayarech la'yar lecha, v'hayil lecha Hashem la'or oilam. So, the Braisa is teaching us that the light of the Anan Yakod was so penetrating, it was like Superman. You could see through the walls. You could see through a jug. You could see through anything. There was no interference when it came to the light of the Anan Yakod. In fact, Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos brings that on the menorah, the Gemara asked that does Hashem need the light of the menorah? V'chila oiro hu tzarech? But for 40 years, there was tremendous light. So Tosfos asks, what does it have to do with 40 years? The whole world is lit up by the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Tosfos says, no, when Aaron went, lefnai v'lefnim, he didn't need light, but the Amud Anan would illuminate for them, like we just read them in the Braisa Melachas HaMishkan, that they could look into a barrel and know its contents through the light of the Anani HaKavod. In fact, interestingly, Reb Chaim Knievsky wrote a Perush on Perek Shira. And Perek Shira gives you the song of the clouds. Anane Kavoid Oimrim. What do Anane Kavoid say? It says, Af Beriyatri Yachav. We say the Af Beri, even clear troubles, thick cloud. He spreads his rain clouds. Says Reb Chaim Knievsky, what does this refer to? This could be explained based on the Braisa Melechas HaMishkan, that when the Anan HaKavod were in Klal Yisrael, they illuminated so much that you could see into a barrel. And that's what we say, Anan Oiroi. Why is it called Anan Oiroi? Because Anan HaKavod were a source of great illumination. Marv Raboisai, comes Reb Shaul Me Amsterdam. Quoted in the Tameh HaMinhagim, Rav Shalom Yamsen was nifted in 1790. He corresponded with the Noid Behuda. The Chidah writes about him that he was zoicha to meet Rav Shaul Amsterdam. He was zoicha to mekabel pnei Ashchina in the year 1778, and he was zoicha to be mizbasim from his Torah and from his humility. And says Rav Shaul May Amsterdam. Then when Rashi says, Unesatem oisa el Elazar hakoyen, v'shachar oisa lefanav, zar shoycheid ve'elazar roya. What does it mean, Elazar roya? If shchita is kosher bazar, why do you need Elazar to see? Why does it say Elazar roya? Why doesn't it say Elazar oimed al gaboy? So he quotes from Shalmei Amsterdam, based on Tanyos and Menuziel, that you have to check it for the 18 treifos, and the Mefarish says this comes to exclude the opinion that you can rely on Rav and you don't need a bedika, and you leave the cow shalem. No, but according to this idea that the Anan HaKavod gave off such powerful light that you were able to see what was inside the barrel and what was inside a jug, the Anan revealed its contents, you could say that by the Paraduma, it's not that you're relying on, it's not that the Targum Yonasan disagrees with the opinion that Paraduma needs Tamima. No, you could still be Mekayim Tamima. Why don't you rely on Roiv? You don't rely on Roiv because you're able to see the Mumim of the Paraduma through the Anan HaKavod. In other words, it was like free ultrasound. It was a free sonograph. So when it says Elazar Roya, it doesn't mean he was the Mashgiach. At the time of the Shechita, Elazar would look through the Anan HaKavod and he could be Boydek, the Anan HaKavod from the 18 Treifos. He was Mekayim, the Inyan of checking, and he was also Mekayim, the Inyan of Tamimos. By the way, comes Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Emor, and the Arachayim HaKadosh says this explains an amazing connection between two episodes in the Chumash. In Parshas Emor, we have the mitzvah of the menorah, lighting the menorah. And right before the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, in the Parsha of the Moyadim, is The mitzvah, the Yom Tov of Sukkos, ki basukos hashavti es bnei Yisrael. L'man yedu doroseichem, ki basukos hashavti es bnei Yisrael, b'yitzio yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. What's the connection between Sukkah and the Menorah? The answer is, if the Torah would just write the parsha of the Menorah, you might mistakenly say, you know why Hashem wants us to light a Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Because Ribono Shel Olam needs the light. Therefore, the Torah prefaces. First, there's a Yom Tov of Sukkos. Sukkos commemorates Anani HaKavod. Then Anani HaKavod gave off a supernatural light. Through it, you could even see into a barrel. You could see through the walls. So there was no need for light in the Beis HaMikdash. Ah, now that you know there's no need for light in the Beis HaMikdash, now the Torah could say there's a mitzvah to light the menorah, and you're not going to be mistaken to think that the reason to light the menorah is in order to give off light, in order to illuminate, because they already had Anani HaKavod, so clearly the lighting of the menorah was just a sign for Hashem's special love for Klal Yisrael. By the way, comes the Meshech Chachma, and the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Yisrael on the Pasuk, V'shaftu es ha'am b'chol es. Yisrael tells the people, tells Moshe, you'll judge the nation at all times. So Chazal learned from here that even though you're not a judge a court case at night, you could do the Gemara Din at night. Now, the Sma Paskins, that even though you don't judge at night, by if you have candlelight and electricity, you could judge a case at night. Ah, says the Meshech Chachma, since the 40 years in the desert, they didn't need light, because the Anani HaKavod illuminated for them. So then the Pashat Pshat in V'shaftu Es Ha'am B'chaleis, you could judge the people at all times, meaning, literally, you could literally, in the Midbar, judge at all times, because through the light of the Anani HaKavod, they were able to judge at all times. Marv Raboisai, perhaps this gives us a deeper connection and understanding between Aaron HaKohen and the Anani HaKavod. Because the Anani HaKavod were not just supplying protection and cover and security. Yeah, we know they did give, they were the protective wall. However, the Anani HaKavod accomplished another task, and that is it provided great light. It made the light of the menorah unnecessary. It allowed you to see through walls. It allowed you to be Boydek the Paraduma for the 18 Mumin. It is what determined night and day. When it was red, it was night. When it was white, it was day. So the Anani HaKavod was the great light of Klal Yisrael. What is the function and objective of light? The Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Chof Gimel, Amar Rava. Rava says it is obvious. If you have enough money to light a candle for Shabbos, or for Hanukkah, it is more important to you to light the Shabbos Lecht because of Shalom Bayis. In other words, the function of light, light creates peace. Rashi explains on the Pasuk that says, Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi, that refers to Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos. Because if you don't have light, people are very distressed. Now, I don't know why they have in restaurants, you go there, and first they milk you. You have to pay for every little food item. And one main course, they want $50 for. And not only that, to add insult to injury, they turn off the lights so you can't even see it. Now the Gemara says, an ani is never satisfied. Why? Because a blind person, is never satisfied. Because if you can't see, you're not full. Maybe that's why the restaurants turn off the light. Because no matter how much you eat, you're not satisfied and you'll order more. But it's torturous. Restaurants are torture chambers because you can't even see the food that you're eating. I'd rather have a bowl of cereal with the lights on than whatever they serve over there with the lights off. There's no shalom. Rashi says in Masech de Shabbos, Chaf Heo Mebez, that Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos, B'makoim She'ein Ner Ein Shalom. Why? Because you bang your foot, you bang your knee, you hurt yourself. So the function of Or is Shalom. And we know Aaron HaKohen, He was the Oyhev Shalom for Raidev Shalom. Hillel v'shamai kibbalu mehem Hillel Omer Hevei mitamidav shalarein Oyhev Shalom for Raidev Shalom. And therefore, perhaps, in the merit of Aaron, the Oyhev Shalom for Raidev Shalom, Klal Yisrael were given the great light, the majestic light of the Anani HaKavod, which was, so to speak, the great peacemaker. Because when there is abundant light, there is abundant peace. Yoitzer Or, Oysa Shalom. Or and Shalom go hand in hand. Marv Raboisai, we say every day in davening, Or Chada Shalt Sion Tayer, a new light should illuminate Sion. What is that light referring to? What's going to happen? One day God's going to take a flashlight and shine it down on Sion? What is this referring to? Says the Vilna Gaon, this refers to, actually we're suggesting, based on the Vilna Gaon, this refers to the return of the Anani HaKavod. God says to the Jewish people in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, Vayomer, Hine Koreis Bris, behold, I will seal a covenant. Ratzolaymer, I am going to seal a covenant. I am going to make a treaty that can never be annulled. Because Chet could stop anything except for the fulfillment of a bris. And this is what it means. Neged kol amcha es en eflois asher lo nivru v'chal ha'aretz v'chal ha'gayim. Opposite your whole nation, I will make wonders that were never created before. You know what was the greatest wonder God ever created? The residing of the Anan on the Mishkan and the Kavod that dwelt there. Like the Pasuk says, Asher ayin ba'ayin nira ata va'anoncha. Until all the nations of the world wondered. You know what really piqued the curiosity of the nations of the world? We say in Shir HaShirim, Mizah ha'is aylam in Hamidbar, kisim ra'is ashan. The nations of the world said, who's going out of the desert like columns of smoke? Or like Sefer Shemais concludes, U'kvoid Hashem malei ki anan Hashem al ha'mishkan. In other words, the honor of God filled up. The cloud of God was on the Mishkan. That was the great wonder that Hashem resided on Klal Yisrael. And even though the Anan left and escorted us when we left Mitzrayim, but interestingly, says the Gra, it was not permanent, it was temporary. Ad Hayam, until the sea. And even then it was not La'ine Klal Yisrael, it was only for the prophets. But now God is making a covenant. Le'ene kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseyem. Meaning when we left Egypt, we had an Anani HaKavod. Number one, it was temporary. Number two, it was not in the eyes of everyone. But now, neged kol amcha esen neflois, asher lo nivru b'chol aretz. V'zohi ha'pela ha'gadol. This is the great wonder. Like the Umay said, when they saw that we have Anani HaKavod, they said, "Ein elu ela lekim, we must be God." And Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for this when he said, "V'neflinu ani ve'amcha mikol ha'am." V'neflinu is lashon pela, and Hashem responded, "Neged kol amcha es neflois, le'enei kol beis Yisrael." And that is what Moshe referred to when he said, "Ah, kuma Hashem, rise up Hashem and travel." That was a directive to the Anani HaKavod, that was the Shekhinah. Shuva Hashem, stop Hashem. And this is what it means, V'ra kol ha'am asher ata b'kirboi es ma'aseh Hashem kinoi rahu asher ani oisa imach. That it was all because of you. V'zeh ha'gedula v'hatoiva.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.